Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Eric has put together a list of very good books that we at MRM believe a Christian should have in their library. It's not that we're saying you have to have all these books, but at least you should have some books in your library that you can turn to should someone have a question regarding what you believe on a particular topic. And there are certainly some very good Christian authors out there who have taken the Bible and expounded on what it has to say to give good, concise answers regarding what we believe as Christian people. So we're going through this list, and if you want to know where you can find such a list, it's at mrm.org. You can find it on our homepage right now, yeah, but the URL is what?
It's at mrm.org/apologetic-books, and it will be on the middle section as well on our main page. If it's not at the very top, then scroll down a little bit. You should be able to find that. Each of these books we're talking about these last couple of days, and as we wrap this up today, are linked to Amazon. You can actually click right on there and it will take you to that book. And if you spend $35 or more, it's free shipping on Amazon. That's a pretty good deal. Or if you have Prime, of course, that will be free as well. But I would suggest not necessarily buying all these books, but maybe make a list of your favorites and start buying one a month. And over 5 years, if you spent $20 a month, I believe you could have all of the books that I list here.
And not just buy them, read them.
Yeah, that's it.
Read them.
And you say that facetiously, but a lot of people will just put books under their shelves, making it look like they've read. I say, put away Harry Potter.
It's funny you say that, because I heard the story of people who buy Hugh Nibley's books. Hugh Nibley was a Mormon scholar, and this one person wrote that people in the Mormon church would buy Hugh Nibley books, not to read them, but just to put them on the shelf so that people coming over to the house would think they read them.
Well, people couldn't understand what Hugh Nibley was trying to say, and he's always quoting the German.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is necessary for Christians to grow. Reading your Bible, studying your Bible is certainly important, but reading good Christian books, nothing wrong necessarily with the fictional kinds of books that are out there, but sometimes I think we're so inundated with fiction that we forget about resources that can help us to be better apologists, to share truth with other people.
What are some of the other titles? We've talked about having a good Bible, and then we talked about some of the apologetic subjects yesterday, such as, you know, Keller's book, The Reason for God, and what were some of the other ones we talked about? Lee Strobel's books were good. They're good on a popular level. And folks, this is, again, we're talking to you on more of a popular level here. Certainly there are much deeper books out there, scholarly level books, where if you understand the Greek and the Hebrew, but most people don't know the Greek or Hebrew. And so how does that help you on a street level? These are good books that are meant to help the, what you might say are the average Christians out there. Although I would say that if you are a Christian who wants to share your faith and defend your faith, you're not an average Christian.
Yeah.
You're an above average Christian.
Yeah, we have a doctrine and theology section, and I don't get very deep with these books, but I think it's important to have a systematic theology book. One that I used when I was in seminary is called Introducing Christian Doctrine by Millard Erickson. If you want to get the full set, it's a 3-volume set. It's a big volume, but they have a miniature version of that, and I recommend that. Or maybe Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology. And I know that sounds pretty deep, systematic theology, but all that means is taking the belief that you have in God, that's what theology means, the study of God, and putting your doctrines together, because there are different ways of viewing that, even within the Christian realm.
One of my favorite systematic theologies, and I don't know if it's on your list, but it's Charles Hodge.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Hodge's 3-volume set, Systematic Theology, you can usually find them at Christian book distributors or on Amazon, relatively inexpensive.
Uh-huh.
But Charles Hodge was a Princeton professor. And sometimes he does get a little bit deep on some stuff, but that's okay, because I have those books sitting next to my chair in the front room when I'm doing my devotions in the morning. I've got the time to look at it. I find that they help quite a bit.
I think it's important as well to know not just about systematic theology, but how doctrine came to be. And so a couple of books I've listed on here, but one is by J.N.D. Kelly. He wrote Early Christian Doctrines and deals with some of the heresies that were found in the early church that we see today. And he deals with them and shows how the early church dealt with these things. If you hear, for instance, the Council of Nicaea brought in a damnable heresy by bringing in, they claim, the Trinity in 325. He'll show you here that that wasn't necessarily introduced at Nicaea, but it was something that the early church fathers were trying to understand. What did the Bible say, and how can we integrate that into our belief system? And a book by Harold O.J. Brown I highly recommend called Heresies. He deals specifically with those heresies. So how did the doctrines come to be, and then how are the false teachers destroying the true beliefs that the Bible has? And that's happened in the early church, and it certainly happens today, but history repeats itself so often. A book that I think is good for applying the Christian worldview is by Charles Colson and Nancy Piercy called How Now Shall We Live? And they deal with a lot of different issues. How do we take Christianity and put it into the 21st century? I mean, we see this all the time. I mean, for instance, this homosexuality issue. Is this okay for Christians or not? Where does that go? And the chapters are, I thought it was done very well, very concise and very readable, so that we can start thinking Christianly like many Christians don't. Many people who call themselves Christians have conformed to this world, as Romans 12:2 says not to do. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is what we do by reading books. We transform our mind so we don't conform to the culture that tells us to do things opposite of what the Bible says.
And it is so disheartening to hear Christians giving emotional responses to the challenges that we face in our culture today. It is so disheartening, but I see it all the time. They are merely echoing what the culture says instead of what God's Word says on the subject.
Now, I want to move to our last section. It's called Cults and Religions. And so I have a whole bunch here, and I only will get a chance to talk about a few. But I want to focus not on the Jehovah's Witnesses or world religions that I have some books mentioned there, but I want to talk about Mormonism, since that's what our show is about. And I think a lot of people will be surprised that I give three Mormon books that I think every Christian ought to own, especially if you live here in Utah. One book is called Gospel Principles. This is a 2009 LDS book that is a general overview of the different doctrines. It is, so to speak, the systematic theology in a simple form for the Mormon Church, and new converts will often use that. And a dictionary-like reference that is very good that they ought to have is called True to the Faith. I think that's a book that ought to be on your shelf for reference, and these books cost just a few dollars. They're not very expensive, but I think if you're going to live amongst Mormons, these are two books that if you bought and you let your Mormon friend know that you have them, I think they'd be impressed that, in fact, read the Gospel Principles.
And it would be difficult for a Mormon to really refute anything you cite from those sources, because those are correlated manuals that have the approval of the First Presidency. So if you cited those books or something from those books to a Mormon, it would not be easy for them to merely say, well, that was just someone's opinion. That's not really official church doctrine. No, it really is church doctrine, and the Mormon should be believing what is in those books.
A third LDS book that I've listed here is called The Miracle of Forgiveness by Spencer W. Kimball, a book that we spent many, many weeks, few years ago, on this radio program dealing with chapter by chapter. But I think you ought to have that one too, because it's a very valuable book when trying to compare the view of salvation with Christianity.
And of course, what sets that book apart from all the others written by Mormon leaders is, as we've said before, this book was recommended more than once by leaders in general conference for members of the LDS Church to read if they wanted to understand what is necessary if a Mormon hopes to achieve forgiveness. So it has the church's stamp of approval, you might say, because it was suggested during general conference.
And then I've listed a number of books written by Latter-day Saints that are not necessarily official with the church, but books that I think are valuable, such as Richard Bushman's Joseph Smith, Rough Stone Rolling. I think that's a good book. Or How about polygamy? You want to deal with polygamy? No better book, I think, out there than Todd Compton's In Sacred Loneliness, The Plural Wives of Joseph Smith. Another one that is worth reading is Richard Van Wagner's Mormon Polygamy. Then we did a whole series on Mormon Enigma, Emma Hell Smith. You can go back on our Viewpoint Radio broadcast, the podcast that we have available, if you click to the right side on the main page, and you can look in our archives. But that is a fascinating book that, again, I'm talking specifically to people who live amongst the Mormons. The more you know about this from others' viewpoints rather than just the quote-unquote anti-Mormons, I think the better you can use that resource information to make your point.
Let's put it this way. If I were a Christian man and I was married to a Mormon woman, I would probably buy that book for her for Mother's Day or for her birthday and challenge her to read this book.
Ooh.
Because it was written by two Mormon authors, two Mormon women authors. And I'll tell you, it would probably change her thinking immensely after going through that book.
If you want to know about Mormonism, I do have three or four general overviews of Mormonism. One that I give is One Nation Under Gods. This is by Richard Abanus, and I think he did a really good overview. And if you want to get a picture, I think the book is 500 pages, so it's not a short book by any means, but he wrote it as a journalist would. And he's very accurate, and he gives you the endnotes to be able to see where he's getting this information. And even though he's not a Mormon, he's using their resource material, just like you and I do when we write our books, Mormonism 101 or Answering Mormons Questions. A new book that's out is Lynn Wilder's Unveiling Grace. I have that linked over. I think she does a good job of telling a story and mixing in doctrine. I think a lot of people will be surprised what her story is all about, and especially how she's able to tie in this, the Mormonism.
Her book is an easy read because she's telling a personal story of her journey out of Mormonism and the struggles they faced as Latter-day Saints, especially when their son Micah, while on his Mormon mission, actually started abandoning Mormon thinking and was moving towards Christian thought, and the difficulties they had as Mormon parents with that.
So go to our website, mrm.org/apologetic-books, and check these books out. Consider these for your personal library.
So Christian, what is in your library?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to this sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.